Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Nothing is off limits as host Sophia Franklin dishes on her personal life, like toxic relationships, dating and hookups, and dealing with insecurities. All with humor and real talk. Find Sophia with an F on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wait, man, we're not going to get out there. And y'all can stop at me at this, too. Y'all, I don't know why they be doing this. Why do y'all think that I'm going to pipe down?
I don't want to hear anything about telling people to go vote.
Go vote. I don't care what you do.
You definitely got to go vote. Go vote.
Go vote, dog. Like, people, I don't want to talk about anything political. I'm going to turn the damn radio off then. Go vote.
Yeah, man, I had to give my girl Kamala a little promotion today, so. You know what I'm saying? We'll see come true tonight. But be that as it may, like I said, I wish I was in Cleveland, not for a Browns game, but, you know, Jocelyn Hernandez is supposed to be in town tonight. So, you know, if you know, you know. But
Does she have a concert?
Nah, you know, she's doing a little her Jocelyn's Cabaret. You know?
That's why I call concerts, you know.
Nah, I mean,
yeah. Nah, I'm saying. Shout out to Jocelyn. Shout out to Love and Hip Hop, man. Let me ask you this question. Let me get to this, man. So, you know, you and I, we was wishing the best for Deshaun Watson. We watched Deshaun Watson week after week. We talked about the, you know, some of the games. And then, you know, in our personal chat, it got kind of tough, bro. At the end, it got kind of tough, man. We was like, listen, hey, you're gonna have to complete some of these passes, man. We're going to have to see you push the ball downfield. So you get to a point, unfortunately, he gets hurt and is out for the season. And then you got Jameis Winston that comes in. What was your assessment of Jameis Winston with the game last week?
My initial assessment was I wish I'd have put some more money down on the Browns game and Jameis and the stats. That was my initial thought. But I thought that, you know, the energy that he brought, and, you know, people kind of tend to forget what he had done in the past. You know, granted, he had been in New Orleans for the last couple of years and off and on coming off the bench. But, you know, saying the dude was a national champion. Throw the football. I can't remember if he won the Heisman or not.
Yeah, he won the Heisman.
So the dude knows how to play quarterback, and he can push the ball down the field. Loop over 5K and, you know, 30 touchdowns, 30 interceptions, but he's not afraid to sling it, and he's very accurate. And, you know, and the thing is, a lot of people talk about those interceptions, but they forget the fact that the dude was doing it basically blind. The dude had to have eye surgery. I mean, that's one reason why his turnovers after he left Tampa Bay, even though, you know, in a few times that he was playing in New Orleans, his interceptions cut down because he had corrective eye surgery done on both of his eyes. So the man got perfect vision right now. So, you know, when a lot of people talk about those turnovers, they neglect to leave that part out.
Yeah, I think when you talk about the turnovers also, if I see guys like Deshaun Watson checking it down all the time, that doesn't do anything for you. That really doesn't. And it's not just Deshaun Watson. This is a thing that you can attribute to Derek Carr. You could say that about a lot of quarterbacks who don't want to throw interceptions, right? You know, they look to check it down quick. You know, they want to, you know, get yards after run. But that limits your offense. You can't have guys sitting around the line of scrimmage sitting on those routes and hope to move the ball up and down the field and especially convert third downs. But to me, I talked to Leroy Hoyt on our other show, and I said, look, Leroy said it too. He said, man, if you're going to give me 2-1, I'll take it. If you're going to throw me 4 touchdowns and throw 2 picks and we still win, I'll take those. I'm not comparing them to Patrick Mahomes, but Patrick Mahomes, you know, at certain parts of his career, he wasn't worried about throwing no interceptions, and that's why he was able to make so many great plays.
Well, let me say, it's about Deshaun, man. I think what people sort of realize is a lot of it had to do upstairs and not really with his playing ability. I mean, now, I get the fact that, you know, I wasn't happy about all the check down and stuff, but in his mind, mentally, he feels like, you know, saying the first time, you know, if he checks the ball down the field and he has an interception, what's he going to hear? He's going to hear boos, you know. And so I think what he was trying to do was to limit any type of chance of putting the offense in a precarious situation by not having turnovers. The only problem was that you can't. You at least got to try to get a first down. You can't. Be 39 and you throwing the ball 3 yards, hoping that your wide receiver tight end gets the other 6 yards. You can't do that. So, in that respect, you know, saying I wasn't happy with his play, but I mean I do get it because you know I mean hell fans you know saying pretty much felt like they didn't want him there anyway. So the first time he was going to have a turnover, you know, saying they was going to boo him mercifully. So look, I mean Jameis is going to give you. He's going to give you some interceptions, but he's going to give you a lot of touchdowns as well. And he's going to hit people while they're in motion, and he's going to put people, and he's going to throw it to where players can find themselves open. And the pass that he threw to Njoku, in the back of the end zone, you know, I mean, that was a pass that only Jameis could make.
Tell me about the scout report. Let's get to the scout report on the Chargers. Obviously, those guys are in your division, not the Chargers from a couple of years ago. When you say Chargers, I think of Justin Herbert, 4,000 yards. I think of, Keenan Allen. I think of Mike Williams. I think of Austin Eckler. Those guys no longer there anymore. They're not the wide open offensive attack where they're going to throw the ball down the field. They have Jim Harbaugh, and you know what the khakis love to do. Khakis love to be physical up front and run the football. J.K. Dobbins obviously has had a pretty good season this year. So when you see those teams from the AFC West vantage point, what are your thoughts? And you guys have already played the Chargers. What are your thoughts on the Chargers and what the Browns are going up against this weekend?
Well, normally what teams like the Chargers and the Broncos, what they try to do is obviously, you know, they're trying to stack their team to stop Mahomes and the Chiefs, the high-powered offense when it comes to that. So, you know, I would imagine in this game tomorrow for you all, you're going to see a lot of running because, you know, you don't want to see Nick Chubb get started. You might try to see how that opening drive goes, depending on who has the ball first, if the Browns have the ball, if it's going to be one of those type of air raid type games, depending on what Jameis does on the opening drive. Herbert had probably one of his best games last week. I think he threw for like 279 yards, a couple of touchdowns. And so offensively, that was probably their strongest game over New Orleans, which, you know, it was New Orleans. So, but they got a lot of their players back. Joey Bosa didn't play in the game against the Chiefs. Khalil Mack, he's still a stout defender. So I think overall, I think it's going to be a very physical game. Again, as you talked about, running the football is what they're going to do. You're going to get a heavy dose of J.K. Dobbins. But the biggest thing is you got to keep Herbert, you know, saying on the move and really try to get to him. You know, their offensive line has been a little decimated. So, you know, this should be a game where Myles Garrett and Za'Darius Smith should be able to eat and get a couple of good sacks and put enough pressure on the Chargers where they can get him in some second and third and longs in the ball game tomorrow.
Talking to Darren Williams on the North, or Darren Smith. Darren Williams is like is the point guard from the Utah Jazz. Hey, can you play basketball? Are you a hooper?
Nah, man. Nah, actually, basketball was the one sport I didn't do growing up. But I grew up, played football. Was on our Olympic weightlifting team. I just, you know, just one of those guys that like to lift weights.
What?
And ran track. That was my thing. Yeah.
Okay. So we got to get into this a little bit. So when we was at OU, we used to have our Olympic, like we had Olympic coaches, right? Like the Olympic style lifting, and we didn't even do 225. Like we didn't even do the regular combine testing. We was doing hang cleans and push presses and art Romanian deadlifts and snatches. So I'm big into watching powerlifting on YouTube. A lot of people don't know about this. What was your best event? What was your best lift?
So my snatch I did, I think my junior year, because I didn't do it my senior year because we had a incident that caused me to kind of go into witness protection for a little bit. I did 80 kilograms for a snatch, which was I think 176 pounds, and then clean jerk. My clean jerk was 120 kilograms, which I think was like 254 pounds. And I did that in the 152-pound weight class.
That's nice. That's nice. 152. That's nice. That's
I started weightlifting in the eighth grade and did all the way up to my junior year. So in high school, and I think my best squat was 485 for five reps.
Hey, that's nice. That look at 150.
Yeah, 155. Yeah. I was kind of thin, until I ate a lot, but because I was burning because I was burning so many calories, weightlifting and running track and football, it didn't start adding on until I became a grown man.
now you got your grown man weight. Listen, you know how it is. You know how we get. You know, it's one of them things, especially you.
My junior year, I weightlifted in competition, not against him, of course, but the world's strongest man, Mark Henry. Used to in Kansas City. Mark Henry used to train out of St. Joe, Missouri, and so in high school we had some events up in St. Joe that we did, and he was competing in those events as well. So,
man, listen, I did not know. Listen, Darren Smith is one of the world's strongest man candidates. I didn't know you for a while, and I did not know you had this type of energy level.
I'm still top 10 in my high school, man. I think I'm number 8 overall in the history of our school. So,
let me ask you this question. Who's the most disappointing team in the NFL right now?
Oh, wow. I wasn't expecting that one. Well, it depends on, I guess, expectations. I would say between Cincinnati and Cleveland, I would also have to probably toss in New Orleans because I think they had higher expectations. Well, honestly, man, there's a lot. I mean, just when you look at the record, you can look at Miami as well. But, injuries play a factor in that type of stuff. So, you could also throw the Cowboys in there. And I guess based off of expectations, you look at the New York Jets. I mean, there's a lot of teams that are not living up to expectations based on their record and how they've played so far this season.
Yeah, it's tough, man. I look at Cincinnati and Cleveland, and obviously the Bengals, they beat the Browns, and so you had to put them a little ahead of them. But they've been struggling too. They don't know what they want
to
do.
I love to see that. I love seeing Cincinnati struggle. So you're not gonna hear no complaints from me. The chili sucks. They barely got good-looking women up there, so,
You done really came at Cincinnati, but y'all got that rivalry in Kansas City. You don't like nothing about Cincinnati.
There is no rivalry. Yeah. There is no rivalry. Don't get it twisted. They lucked up. They lucked up because Mahomes had a meltdown in the second half of that ball game. That's all that was. There is no rivalry.
What do you make of this? You got the situation where the Browns is 2-something. And, you hear people talk about, I asked Mary Kay Cabot about this, you talk about the people in terms of who want to get rid of, Myles Garrett or trades or different things like that. What type of package would you have to deliver, have to even consider to move a guy like Myles Garrett? Because I've always said that Myles Garrett and Nick Chubb are untouchables. For me, they would leave and play here the rest of their career, and just like DJ Watt does over in Pittsburgh, and Hayward and some of those other guys, I believe in keeping some of your marquee names. When you talk, when you look at what's going on, and you got the Browns at 2-6, and other teams may come calling like the Lions. A big story broke about you know, a whole thought process with the Lions. What do you think about that?
See, I'm a little different because, you know, watching you all show this week, you know, over the last couple of weeks, you all say that Miles Garrett is wasting another year, or Joe Bitonio is wasting another year. Well, if they're wasting another year of their career, and you want the best for them, well, I mean, if Andrew Berry can, you know, talk to him and find a situation where a team, you know, has more of a chance to win a Super Bowl than what they have currently in Cleveland, I mean, I say you do it. So, hey, look, I know it sounded weird, but you know, 3 firsts and a player and an additional draft pick from Miles Garrett is not out the realm of possibility. I mean, that's not a bad trade proposal. You know, I mean, I probably would give up David Montgomery versus Jahmyr Gibbs, but that's just me. And so, you know, Nick Chubb, he's not under contract. So, I mean, the Cleveland proved the loyalty by re-signing him for the one-year deal, you know, that the contract was structured. So, I mean, if you get 3 firsts and anything else for Miles Garrett, I mean, I say you do it. You know, I mean, try to recoup those picks that you lost for Deshaun Watson.
Well, here's the thing. If you look at it, if Miles Garrett came to me and said, listen, hey, I want to be out of here. We can't do that. No, we can't do that. I need something back in return. We're gonna try to pillage Kansas City because we can't give you Miles. If they gave them Miles Garrett, that the league should protest. The league should be like, nah, bro, we're not gonna let Patrick Mahomes get no Miles Garrett type of dude. No, but if Miles Garrett came. If Miles Garrett came to me and said, hey, get me up out of here. I've been here a long time. I don't want to go through a rebuild. I would definitely consider having to move him because of what he did for the organization. But if he don't come to me and he don't say nothing, I'm going to have to chill out on that. Like, because for me, at some point, I need to have an evaluation with the Browns to see if we really got guys that is worth it. Think about it like this. We thought that the offense was terrible. We didn't have no receivers. All of a sudden, we got decent quarterback play, and the receivers look viable. I need to still evaluate the rest of this organization and the roster with some decent players. I don't know how you sell that to the fan base and say, look, we gave up Miles Garrett, and he's probably the best defensive player we've ever had in our history here, and we gave him up for, like, some ones or twos. And I don't even know if y'all going to use the one or twos wisely.
No, I mean, look, that's fair, but I'm saying Andrew Berry wouldn't be doing his job. He wouldn't be doing it if he didn't pick up the phone. I mean, you can pick up the phone and at least, you know, if somebody calls you to see what they have to offer, depending on the team and, you know, what they're trying to do. I mean, again, if a team, remember, Deshaun Watson didn't want to come to Cleveland, and what they gave up, and then, you know, when they hit him with their fully guaranteed money, his whole attitude changed. You know what I'm saying? And Houston was just like, you're going to give us this, and So I mean, yeah, you know, I mean, if you're Andrew Berry, you got to do your job. I mean, that would be like Brett Veach. You know, look, the Raiders were never going to trade Devontae Adams to the Chiefs inside division, but Brett Veach had to make the phone call. He had to do his due diligence. You know, he called him. He told me he called him and inquired. They said that they weren't going to trade within the division. Okay, cool. Now you move on to the next receiver. I mean, you got to. I mean, he called the Browns about Amari Cooper. You know what I'm saying? But he wasn't willing to give up a second round draft pick for a rental player. So that's just how that works out. So you got to do your job and you got to do your due diligence. I mean, if somebody calls you and asks you about it, all you can do is say yes or no. So it's at the end of the day, man, this is still a business, man. Trust me, these owners are not loyal to any player. Period.
Well, there you have it, Darren Smith. Pulling a Chris Brown, not loyal.
Yeah, I know.
Hey, Darren, man, good talking to you as well. We'll talk to you again next week. We appreciate you. Eat some good barbecue for me, man.
Sounds good, man. Good luck tomorrow.
Because
I don't have to work till Monday, so I'm
good. Oh, man. You always rubbing it in. Darren Smith right here on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Let's go right to a 2020 update.